I suspect I mentioned this to you before, but one of my early mentors in ministry said that every preacher has one sermon that he or she gives over and over again. When Ron said that to me, I was a little bit perplexed because my minister at the Wyoming Presbyterian Church in New Jersey, and then my minister at the First Presbyterian Church in Ithaca, New York, preached on a variety of different topics. They would preach off of the lectionary, or they would speak to something happening in the news. So I decided to start listening more closely. And when I went to Boston after business school and I joined a church, I had the opportunity to listen to one person preach over and over again, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out. And after a while, it became clear to me that Jim Crawford had one essential message in the sermons he was preaching over and over. And it was a very simple, God loves you. Now, sometimes this message would be broadcast in very loud, simple terms. And other times it would be background music. And sometimes you'd have to work really hard to pick it up. But it was always there. And I've seen this to be the case with other preachers. And I think part of it is because a good preacher is rooted in Scripture. A good preacher is taking something that is there, some idea or some concept that resonates with him or her, and reflects it in his or her preaching. Now, this isn't to say that preachers don't take things from Scripture and twist them or even pervert them, but I don't think we should judge preachers by the extremes. And if we look at Scripture, I think we will find certain themes that recur throughout. And if we look at today's passage from Isaiah, the theme that is communicated to us is one of hope. One of hope. Now, that sounds like a nice, vague term. You know, I can hope for good weather. I can hope to win the lottery next week. I can hope I feel better. But we need to think about where Israel was at the time it heard these words from the prophets, what its situation was. And then we'll get a better feeling for the kind of hope that is being lifted up. You'll recall that the book of Isaiah, which is 66 chapters long, was not preached or written down by one person at one time. It unfolded over a course of centuries. And we speak of the first Isaiah, and the second Isaiah, and the third Isaiah. And the first Isaiah was actually a person named Isaiah. And he was at work in pre-exilic Judah. And then second Isaiah is more of a school of people who were inspired by the prophet's teachings. And they derived hope. And that hope was needed because second Isaiah was written in Babylon when the people were in exile. And then there was a third Isaiah, another school. And they had a very tricky situation in which to preach and to teach. You'll recall last week we shared the prophecy from Haggai that was delivered to the Israelites after they returned to Jerusalem and they'd started rebuilding the temple. And then that work stalled out. They'd had hope. They'd been excited. There'd been enthusiasm. But then all of those good feelings ran into reality. That everything wasn't going to be made right overnight. That perhaps their dreams needed to be tempered. And so people turned away from focusing on rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the place to worship God, and started to focus on their own individual concerns. It's in this environment that today's lesson occurred. And the prophet wanted the people to know that they did not need to give up their hope. They did not need to yield their dreams. that amazing things were indeed possible. And sometimes the temptation is just to give up. We can look at the world around us today. We had another school shooting last week. There's rioting in Hong Kong as people are fighting for their freedom. I don't need to go on about what's taking place in Washington right now. Who can make a difference? Why should we hope it's going to get any better? But think about the story of Israel, which is a story of exile and return, an idea that we've been exploring in Tom Wright's book, Simply